Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. Jim Ronding and Gary Gallagher here for an hour today, bringing you some real estate news to the Northland. Mr. Gallagher, how are you doing this afternoon?
Jim, we're doing really good up here in the Twin Ports. A lot of activity going on. The weather has certainly changed. You can feel the coolness in the air. We've had a lot of rain since September, and there's a lot of green grass around the area, which wasn't the case earlier this summer. So it's good to see that going on, and properties are looking a heck of a lot better when you pull up to them to show them. I mean, they look, you know, I think it's almost one of those things to where, you know, you see lawns growing now and people, you know, trying to like say, oh, I didn't have to do this all summer. Now I'm gonna take care of my lawn and it's fall. And so, but it's good to see the green grass and that we get a little bit of that because it's been such a dry summer. And
right.
I remember walking up to properties earlier during midsummer where you're stepping on the lawn and it's crunching. The ground is crunching below your feet.
Right.
That's how dry the grass was.
Wow. Yeah. Well, and, you know, by the way, Gary, we got to mention this. So we have a full hour today because normally today we would have a half hour show or so because of UMD Sports. But our glorious Twins are moving on to the ALDS, and they play about an hour after our show, so they had to move the UMD Sports stuff over to Cat Country 98.9. So if you're looking for UMD, that's where the that's where those sports are going to be. And following after our show is going to be the Twins trying to move on some more. So we were lucky with the Twins this week, Gary, because they're playing an extended season in the playoffs. They had to jumble things around, and you and I ended up getting an hour. So here we go.
Well, we'll take that. And I just real quickly want to mention, talk a little bit about the Twins because,
yeah.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something, Jim. Earlier this summer, as we were in June, July, whatever, I was one of those guys where I was just like completely ready to jump off the rails with the way the Twins were playing. I'm a huge Twin fan. I have been since the late 60s, early 70s.
Right.
And I was just very critical of the management, the way they were being managing, the hitting. They just couldn't do anything. But I got to tell you something. This team has really turned it around. And the last month and a half has been some very exciting baseball that we've had a chance to witness. And what we witnessed in the first round of these playoffs against none other than Jose Barrios.
Right.
You know, I mean,
he got robbed, by the way.
That was a good win. And let's hope the Twins can just keep this together, Jim, and they can have a deep run in the playoffs. And, you know, starting today, we've got the Houston Astros, and let's go Twins.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, just to my own personal take on that is, man, that Toronto manager has to be under fire because I think he made some pretty big mistakes. I think he's ultimately to blame for that pickoff play in that second game. And then I think, you know, to pull Barrios out of that game when he is just cruising along. Wow. I mean, I know second guessing
well,
is...
Well, pulling Barrios out was not a good idea. The
no.
pickoff play was... That's Carlos Correa.
Well,
that's
but see, the thing is that they should have... I
know,
think managerial...
He was able to, like... understand that they couldn't hear
right
nobody could
exactly
hear because of the crowd, and he and Jeffers and or Jeffries and Sonny Gray, they had it, man, and they got it, and it was a big play. It was a turning point in the whole game.
Well, and you know, I mean, Sonny Gray had four pickoffs during the regular season, which is I think it tied for the most of any pitcher in baseball. I'm just saying that the managerial staff should say, look, guys, when you're on second base and you can't, it's going to be hard to hear from third, so pay attention. And I mean, maybe the guy just totally blew it himself on an individual way, but man, it made for exciting baseball. And it reminded me, did it remind you of anything? No?
No, I was so excited, I couldn't think.
It reminded me instantly of Kent Hrbek. you know, on the pitch over to first, when he kind of lifted the guy off base and then tagged him out.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there have been historically some pickoffs in Twins playoff baseball, but I was so tired of the streak, both of them, you know, and I'm glad it's over, and congratulations, Twins. And a little more excitement to our sports life. I'm all for it. So let's see if they can get past Houston. It'll be a big task, but let's hope they do.
Jim, some of the bigger news in real estate right now and on the national level are the mortgage interest rates. And they continue to be a top story this year. They have been all year. And what we've experienced the last couple of weeks locally, I know that you're coming into your busy season down there in Florida, but up here we're starting to get to the point to where things are going to start to like wane down. But I will say this: those interest rates have skyrocketed in the last couple of weeks,
and the
yield on the 10-year Treasury bond has just gone absolutely wild. It started approaching 5%. I think it got as high as 4.8 something. And that is kind of the measure of what happens with the mortgage rates. And these rates, we haven't seen a conventional 30-year mortgage rate of 7.5% for quite some time.
Right.
And we go back to 2008, 2010, right in that timeline. And the FHA 30-year term is at 7.75, and the VA 30-year is at 7.5. So these interest rates continue to be a big story. They're starting to drag on the housing market, I believe. And locally, in the last couple of weeks, I think we've noticed a very significant slowdown in activity. And I think we're seeing more and more price reductions, property sitting on the market, and we're starting to get into that market to where, you know, what's going to happen. Now, I still think that we still have a decent market. I still think you are seeing multiple offers on properties. Although I think you're starting to see the numbers get smaller and smaller. And I think that the units sales are down. So, you know, you look at it, and I think that there are some buyers, and I know that I'm working with a couple of buyers that are just sitting on the sidelines. They've been looking for a couple of years, actually, and they're just saying, we're going to wait this out.
Right.
You know, these interest rates are, like, absolutely phenomenal. When we started looking, the rates were 3%. And now they're, like, on the downside of, you know, 8%. And so that's a huge shift in the cost of buying a house. It's so significant that I think it's causing people to take pause.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
Just say, okay, wait. And when you look at some of the national indicators that have been going on, and we've been talking about this, is the experts are saying they're predicting these rates are going to start to ease as we get into the fourth quarter of this year, which we're in, and then as we get into that first and second quarter of next year. And then the other part of this, Jim, is we've got a minor election cycle coming up in the next month, but we've got a massive election cycle coming up in 2024. So how that plays into the economy and everything, I mean, that's, you know, I think the next year and a half is going to be a very volatile situation in the real estate industry. What do you think?
Oh, I totally agree. I think that the interest rates, that my personal experience with it is buyers are... You have people that are saying, you know what, I'm just going to go to the sidelines and sit for a while. I've had the same thing happen. The reason is the houses that they want to buy are just tipping out of their price range. And to come down to a price range where they can afford, they're just so frustrated because the price is really... They've changed slightly here, but they haven't changed a lot. The demand is still high. There's a lot of cash buyers down here, you know what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of retirees, and they're taking their life savings, and they're buying their second house, or maybe they're moving here, and they're taking all of their equity out of their other house, or they just plain have money. And it's putting the financed buyers in a predicament. Because you have rising interest rates, and you've got a market that's lost maybe 3% of its value You know, so it's just not the interest rate difference is significantly higher than the market adjustment. So they feel they have no choice but to sit and to wait it out. The thing that is keeping a lot of those buyers, though, in saying, regardless, I'm going to do it, is the rents down here are continuing to rise. Some say they may have plateaued now. I don't know if that's the case. That's not really, I'm not into rental market. But that is also a very big hindrance to buyers because their rent goes up and they have no equity. So that's the way they're thinking. And, you know, of course, home ownership to me is still the greatest savings plan there is for most Americans out there with increase in appreciation. So I don't know, Gary, it's a very interesting time. It's a big struggle, and I hope we do get some interest rate relief here soon. So
how are we doing on time, Jim?
Well, let's do this. Let's take a break right now, and then we'll come back and we'll get back into it. Folks, you're tuned into the Twin Ports Real Estate Show, and hang in there. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. Jim Ronding and Gary Gallagher here from RE/MAX. I'm, of course, down in Punta Gorda. Gary is up in the Twin Ports. Gary, give out your phone number.
I can be reached at 218-390-0615. I'm licensed in both Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Anything you're looking for in particular?
Well, mid-level housing, I think, you know, you look at, you know, price point up to 350. That seems to be a very active market for buyers right now. And so, yeah, if you're in a, you know, price point of that type of stuff, it doesn't necessarily matter where it is anymore. I think people are wide open to what, right, where they'll consider living. And, but the price points, yeah, if somebody's got a house out there and they're in that type of a price point, give or take, you know, 10% or whatever, yeah, give me a holler.
All right. And down here in Florida, you can reach me 218-348-7653. And I'm in the Punta Gorda area, but you know, I do have about a 50-mile swath that I work. So I'm right around Fort Myers. So if you're interested in any real estate down here, give me a call.
Jim, what's hot down there in terms of housing?
Well, I mean,
what are the hot markets? What are people looking for?
Waterfront is the high end stuff here is still turning over, and if it's on water, if it's on a canal which leads out, you know, to in our instance, in our case, leads out to the Peace River, which leads out to the ocean. That is, you know, what's very desirable. Gary, you know what's interesting about canals down here?
What's that?
Well, so these are man-made canals. And if you ever look at a overview of, you know, Florida footprint around, you know, the West Coast, probably the East Coast, too. I've never looked. But you'll see these canals, and they've got all kinds of inlets and outlets and whatever you want to call them. You know, people will buy, they'll find their perfect place and they go, okay, I want to buy it. And they buy it, they put their boat in, and then a year later, they're very frustrated. You know what they're frustrated at?
There's no water in the canal.
Nope. Oh, that's a good one. Depending on the tide, that can be an issue, but usually they have those deep enough that the tide doesn't bother them. No, what it is they move in, and when you're in the canal, it is a no-wake zone, right? Because there are other boats parked as you're going. There are other boats parked as you slip by. So you can't have a wake and rock them. You know, it's kind of like if you go by Barker's Island or any other marinas, you know, in the Twin Ports from Lake Superior. So what happens is, you know, they realize, depending on where they buy it, it could take them 45 minutes to an hour to get out of that simply going like 4 miles an hour or less mode. And that gets really old. When you jump on your boat, you just want to go and have fun, and maybe you want to turn the speed up a little bit. But no matter what these people do, it's 45 minutes out, it's 45 minutes back. So when I'm showing people canal properties, I have learned to disclose that and to say, listen, before we consider this property, we want to make sure that, you know, your in and out time is going to be as fast as possible, or you have to be able to accept how much time it's going to take. And it's gotten so bad, and there's so many complaints, that they built adjoining canals that connect like one canal path to another canal path, which could cut off 25 minutes. Do you know what I'm saying? So, and this might be a mile long, you know. So anyway, it's an interesting phenomenon that I didn't know about until I moved down here. If I was buying one of those houses on a canal and I had a boat, I wouldn't even think of that. So it's just one of the strange things that you learn when you're down here.
Well, what happens if somebody doesn't follow the rules? I mean, do they get fined? Do they get arrested? What happens?
Well, I'll tell you what. So we're talking about very populated canals. If you are making a wake, yes, there are. There's the sheriff has boats. There's Coast Guard here. There's all kinds of people that can come up on you and check your boat identification and such. But no, there will be people outside, and if you are going too fast, they will tell you to slow down because they do not want their boat ramming into the dock. That causes scratches and everything, or maybe they're out there working on it and you don't want to rock and roll in boats. So yeah, no, people will get mad at you if you have a wake and you try to fly through there, and they will call, you know, to get you pulled over if you are persistent with it. So yeah.
So here's my other question.
Yeah.
Are houses, properties more valuable that are closer to the beginning of the canal versus at the end of the canal?
Yeah, see, that's a good question. That's a great question. I would say yes, circumstantially, right? I mean, if you have a house that fits people to the T, you know, but it's an hour out, man, they're going to think long and hard about that one. And they just might bite the bullet saying, well, we're not going to be on the boat every day, so when we do, we'll put up with it. That's generally what would happen. But yeah, so is the closer you get to getting out quick, I think it brings more value to your house, just because, you know, some people are absolute about that. And as a realtor, when we market canal properties, you know, if it's 10 minutes out, man, that's the first line of the verse that we want to advertise. You know, only 10 minutes to the open water. You know, and that's valuable. That's kind of a buzzword to them, to boaters. So it's very interesting. Another thing about canals is there's a lot of people that have sailing boats here, right? And they want to keep sailing boats, you know, on their property if they can. There are canals that will suit a sailboat, but not all canals, because some of the canals the road will pass over. So that's the other thing. If you want sailboat access, you know, that cuts out, I don't know what the percentage is, but I'm sure it cuts out 45-50% of where you can find your canal to live on. So, man, Gary, one more thing. Can I talk one more thing about Punta Gorda?
Let's hear it.
All right. The Twin Ports is no stranger to local political campaigns getting very testy, are we?
Oh,
we've got a good one.
We're in the midst of one of those.
We've got a good one down here. So there is a city councilor down here that's running. He's running for re-election. His last name is Kaharski, and I want to know if he actually has relatives in the Twin Ports, because I grew up with a bunch of Kaharskis.
It's David Kaharski. He used to be our producer.
There you go. Related. Yep. There are so many of them. I knew so many of them. I graduated with Dan. But anyway, this guy, his name is Mark. He's running for city council and to get reelected. And he's running against this gal, last name of Lux, L-U-X. So she's got her sign up at a beauty salon somewhere, right? And his wife, it was just in the paper on Friday, his wife and one other unnamed individual were charged with vandalizing the opponent's signs.
Oh.
Right. So Kaharsky had permission from the building owner to put a sign up. It's on a commercial street on Highway 41, so there's thousands of cars that drive by. He saw her sign there, and, or she did, the wife did. She went in there and said, "You don't have permission for that sign." And they said, "Well, yeah, we rent here, so we're going to put the sign up." And apparently the two of them went over and pushed that sign over, and it was a metal supported sign that was driven in. They could not pull it out, so they had to bend it over. And she and the other person got a citation from the police, right? And now it's this big blowback, and it turns out there's some law that I don't know what it is. But there's some law that protects the other person's name for some reason. I don't know. But apparently it's Kaharsky himself. Somehow his name is expunged from the charge. So it's just so stupid. You know, I mean, it's so dumb. You've got these big, important elections. These people are making decisions that affect the community like you cannot believe. And here we are. We're getting tipsy on signs. I mean, it's the most ridiculous, dumb thing. I'm pretty sure that he might have just sailed his ship right to the bottom with that thing, you know, tearing down the opponent's sign. And it's just stupid. It just makes me laugh, but it also just makes me shake my head. So,
well, politics is politics, I don't know what it's about, and it's unfortunate that it can get so, you know, negative when it comes to the people that are running. And I think it's what we experience all across the globe.
Well, you know,
I don't think this is a national, local, state, national. I think this is international, the corruptness and the bad things that can go on and the negativity. And it's unfortunate, but
I think they act like children. Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing.
That's getting pretty low when you're, when you're pulling people's signs and you want to do that.
I think it's funny that they got arrested. I mean, well, maybe not arrested, but they got cited. And I'm sure that once they got cited, they go, "Oh no, what now? What did we do?" I just can imagine. We just lost the election. That's what I think anyway. I think they blew it wide open. But anyway, other than that, all is good here. There's the real estate market is starting to pick up. Normally we pick up a lot more after Thanksgiving. But the weather's still nice here. It's about 85 every day now, so it's a little bit less than the heat that we were getting. So, yeah.
Jim, locally here in the Twin Ports, we're dealing with what I would consider some significant real estate stories.
Yeah.
One of them being, this is something that you and I have talked about, is the a new high-rise development that is down on the corner of 4th Avenue East and Superior Street. And it's right across the avenue from the new Essential Medical campus that was built.
Right.
And this was a high-rise apartment building that was proposed to be developed. This goes back several years. This is a 15-story, 200-unit building.
Wow.
And, this goes back several years. I don't remember the exact date, but they so in any event, the developer is now asking for an extension from DETA, the Duluth Economic Development Authority, and this is the seventh time this developer has requested an extension for this project, because under the terms of the current agreement that's in place, this company is called Landmark Development, who's developing this property. They are required to complete construction of the high rise and have it certified as ready for occupancy by June 24th of 2024.
That's not happening.
And that's not going to happen. I mean, we're in October of 2023.
Yeah.
A 15-story building.
They haven't broke ground yet, have they?
A year and a half, I would think, minimum to construct, if not a little bit longer.
Have they broken ground?
Well, they've broken ground. I mean, they've torn it. Remember the Voyager Motel?
Yeah, right, yeah.
They actually tore down three buildings. It was the Voyager Motel, the Hacienda de Sol. Do you remember that?
Oh, Mexican restaurant? Yes. That was good
And
food.
Then there was an Oriental grocery store that was down
right,
there.
Yep.
All three of those buildings are gone. They're down. This site has been vacated, and there's dirt. They had to leave up some of the walls of the back of those buildings because it abuts the alley. And I mean, if they would have torn it down, that alley would be exposed to collapse.
Right.
You know, and then above that alley, you have that massive parking, city parking ramp. And so this area is all fenced off, you know, and, you know, when this is going to take place. I mean, I understand that during the COVID era that we've dealt with, that nobody was doing anything, and it was a challenge just to, you know, conduct our lives. And then with the rising costs of borrowing money, I think that probably, in a nutshell, is a main reason, and the cost of building materials.
Well,
this happened to the cost of the materials. These have added on to this project, which is now approaching a price tag of $85 million.
What
and I don't recall what the actual original number was, but
I bet
this is a situation that is, you know, when is this going to get resolved, and how soon are they going to be able to begin construction? And, you know, how long is the city of Duluth going to, like, continue to, you know, move the goalpost and allow this company just to say, you know, we can't start it now, you know, can you give us some more time, you know? And I don't know what the answer is to that, but I think this is such a nice development project that the city has to.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Push the goalpost back. I don't think they can. I don't think there are a lot of options, because what are they going to do? But and I think the other part of this, Jim, is there's been so much talk about let's develop housing downtown because we want to recreate a downtown neighborhood. We want to bring retail to downtown, and this is going to be a centerpiece of that. Even though it's at the far eastern end of that downtown corridor, I still think it's a significant enough development that warrants allowing them to wait out the environment that we're in with the cost of money, with the cost of materials, and just delay getting this thing started. And so I hope that the city allows that, and there's no reason for them not to. I mean, what are they going to do? Because if they don't and this property tanks, what's going to happen to that site? You have a world-class medical facility there. You're within that theater district downtown, and we're going to have a big hole in the ground with dirt and everything. So there's no reason for them to not extend this. It's unfortunate that, you know, we're dealing with the delay in it. But my hope is that this thing, you know, takes off and gets off the ground, and that we're going to have a beautiful structure down there, because the housing, adding 200 units downtown, 15 stories, sky, you know, lake views overlooking downtown. I mean, you know, it's going to be a beautiful project.
Well, I I would venture to guess between the increase in materials costs and the interest rate, I bet you that building is up 40% from what it was originally stated to cost. So they're probably reeling a little bit and recalculating. And I wouldn't be surprised if there'd be some alterations that come out of this. But who knows, you know. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think the city just has to let this one ride and keep pushing them. But, you know, you got to give them a little bit of a leeway on this, because what's going to replace it? Who's going to step in and build something so significant? You know, so yeah, I do agree. Gary, we're up against a break, though. We got to take a break. Folks are tuned into the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. Hang in there. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. Jim Rond and Gary Callagher here from RE/MAX. I'm down in Punta Gorda, Florida, and if you need any Florida real estate or questions, give me a call, 218-348-7653. And Mr. Callagher, give us your digits.
In the Twin Ports, I'm at 218-390-0615. Jim, I just want to briefly mention that a very expensive property hit the market in the city of Duluth this past week. And I think with everything that's going on, you're really starting to see some of the highest values that you know, I've ever seen in town.
Right.
And it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because I think when this property hit the market, I was like, whoa, $2.4 million.
Oh, wow.
And you just don't see those properties come on the market in Duluth. And so I ran a quick search, and I did properties of 900,000 plus in the city of Duluth.
Yeah.
There's 19 of them. There's 19 active listings that are $900,000 plus in the city of Duluth. And when we look at the $1 million price tag, Jim, there are 15 properties that are $1 million plus in the city of Duluth. And we have, and I think a couple of those, you know, there's this Water Street development,
yeah,
and some of the new condos that are being built on there. The top unit is actually being listed for $3.2 million. And that's right on Lake Superior, you know, right down at the bottom of 21st Avenue East. And this other property is up on what they call Montauk Lane, which is that development that I think it was developed by Pavland a number of years ago. And it's just as you just go up the city of Duluth, it's just east of where the Lester Park Golf Course was. And it's kind of a semi-rural setting, but $2.4 million. There's another property, Jim, up on in what we call the Northland Estate subdivision for $1.6 million.
Wow.
So we have some significant properties and values that are going on locally here, Jim. And I it's something I've certainly never seen. And where this all shakes out, I don't know. But it's good to see that. And indicates to me we got some action going on up in this town.
Well, and you know, I mean, I don't know what the fate will be of all of those high-end listings, but I think that you're always going to come back to what does the area offer. And the area is now famous for being, you know, the most climate stable city in the United States. You know, that article sure got a lot of run, and then it's been talked about. And then you talk about the rugged beauty of the area, Lake Superior. I mean, all this stuff you can never replace, and you can never compare it to a lot of other places. So I think that Duluth is kind of like, you know, like Montana was discovered by all the, you know, wealthy people, and all of a sudden real estate prices in Montana are crazy because it's beautiful out there, big sky, whatever it is. I've never been since I was a kid. But I think the overall beauty and the Four Seasons, Lake Superior, all that kind of stuff, yeah, I guess I can see this area continuing to hold such high value, especially in the you know, in the world of those people that have a lot of money. So I think that you're going to see, you know, those prices, a lot of them are going to sell. So I don't know. What's your thoughts?
Well, I think the other thing, when you look at actual properties that have sold that are 900,000 plus, listen, right now, at this point of October, we've sold and closed 12 properties over $1 million in the city of Duluth. So, you know, how many more are we going to be able to close by the end of the year? So we're on a record pace. I think the record is 16 or 17 houses over $1 million in any given year. But the fact that we're selling these types of houses, and the most expensive house so far in Duluth has sold it for $1.4 million.
Right.
That was a property on Lake Superior on 4610 London Road. But who's buying these houses?
Right.
Where are these buyers coming from? And so, you know, and obviously we don't have access to who the buyers were, but I think we've had a very healthy, what I would call upper end housing market here for the last couple of years.
Well, and Gary, I'll just tell you this. Don't put those $1 million prices out of the range of people who are buying a second home. Because I see people down here all the time they're seasonally buying a house for $3 million, you know, and they're not here. I mean, there's a lot of wealth around, and if it gets perceived that this area is beautiful and people fall in love with it, they'll do it. So there's a lot of wealthy individuals in the world, and they're looking for that kind of raw beauty, I think. So I wouldn't doubt it if you're going to see a lot of these houses that are, you know, there's not a lot of activity going on except for once in a while, a couple of times a year.
Well, I think the medical facility, the medical community here in Duluth is really probably one of the top drivers
right.
of selling these types of houses. But I agree with you. I think there's a lot of money floating around. Maybe people have, you know, lost some confidence in the stock market and are putting it in real estate.
Right. That's happened.
The
many
fact
times
that we're
before.
Seeing these types of values in this marketplace is, I'm not going to say it's unprecedented, because we've had a significant amount of activity in the last 2 to 3 years of these dollar values. But to see it at the levels that we're seeing at consistently, I think is a it's an eye-opening thing, and let's hope it continues.
Well, it's, you know, you and I were around when $100,000 price tag was a lot of money. Don't mean to date ourselves, but I mean, you know, it's amazing, you know, the corners that the real estate market has turned, and the increase in value, you know, as a whole nationwide, it astonishes me. You know, so yeah, I'm not surprised by much anymore. How about you?
Well, I mean, it's healthy. I think it's good. I'm a little surprised at some of the extreme values, especially of those condos down on Water
right.
Street, $3.2 million for the prime one, and then $1.6 million. And I don't think those are completed units. You know,
wow.
So ultimately, it'll be interesting to see if they sell those. It's sure eye-opening to be able to see these values.
Well, I agree, but it's a beautiful place to be. I can't wait. We're going to be up there around Thanksgiving. I can't wait to be up there, and there's a lot of reasons for living there, so I totally agree. Gary.
Well, Jim, how much time are we on this?
We
one?
Got another 2 minutes.
There's another local story I'd like to talk about a little
Go
bit.
Go ahead. You got 2 minutes.
Oh, well, we might not have enough time for this one, but maybe we can carry it into the last one. But locally,
sure.
Jim, we've had some issues with rental properties
right.
and the
Licensing.
Inspection, the housing inspectors,
yeah.
You know, trying to keep up and struggle with keeping pace
we've talked
to doing
about
the inspections
this, yeah.
that are required for rental units. And there's a huge backlog and COVID. I mean, I think the housing inspectors and they were doing a good job. They had caught up, and then we hit COVID, and so they just got backlogged. And I think one of the numbers in one of the stories earlier, back in September, they could be 2,600 units behind schedule. And you know, the rental license inspections are every 3 years; they're on a 3-year cycle.
Right.
And one of the things that I think has been proposed, that I think is not a bad idea by one of our local city councilors, is maybe having a different cycle for good landlords. I mean, I think in this article that was written by the Duluth News Tribune, the one of the counselors, I think, had a quote that, you know, rental properties have to, you know, be inspected to make sure we have, you know, good living conditions. And I took that as a generalized statement that all landlords and rental properties are in substandard condition, which is simply not the case. It's simply not the case. And I think a very small percentage of our units locally here, Jim, are substandard. But the city councilor also went on to mention that maybe we should have a system where we reward good landlords with longer time frames versus problematic landlords who the city, you know, traditionally has problems with.
All right, well, Mr. Kelleher, I got to cut you off right there. We got to take a break here. We'll be right back, and we'll wrap this whole show up along with this little comment on this story. Hey, welcome back to the last segment of the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. Go Twins! All right, Mr. Kelleher, let's finish talking about the home inspector or the building inspectors.
Yeah, so typically, Jim, our license cycle is every 3 years. And right now, the way it stands is the property owner goes in, and I think the fee for the new license is $320, plus you pay $20 or $25 per bedroom fee. So you can pay $400
right.
bucks every 3 years to have your license, your property inspected. And as long as you pay the fee, you're good. I mean, if they're 2,600 units behind on licensing, right, there's no chance that they're going to re-inspect that property in the next 3 years. So as long as you pay the fee, you're good. I mean, I think our current mayor has proposed or put in her budget to hire one new housing inspector. I think city council believes that we need more than one housing inspector. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. But this is going to continue to be an issue. And I know this is a hot button topic for some landlords who think that they pay for their inspection, they want it, but as long as they paid the fee, they're good. And so ultimately it happens. And I think the biggest issue that really brought this to the forefront, Jim, was something that we talked about earlier, was a property on 7th Avenue East and 3rd Street that earlier this year burned to the ground, and two people were lost their lives in that. And so this really, really brought this home. Although that property was property licensed. So what are your thoughts on this?
I have a solution. It's called independent contractor. So you've got a number of professionally licensed home inspectors in the area who could easily be trained to help out with this, you know, with this backlog. I wonder if they've even considered something like that. You know, I mean, train them in on what the codes are that they're supposed to be looking for. They know, you know, the houses inside and out already. It seems to me like that would be a good option. What are your thoughts?
Well, the city employee union is pretty strong, and I'm not sure if they would go along with that.
I'm sure they wouldn't.
Because that I would go against all the city employees that are unionized, and so that would be something that it'd be interesting. I would certainly be something I would say, whatever we can do to get caught up is probably worth considering.
Well, especially when there's lives at stake, like you were saying. You know, I mean, it's the pace of government, I guess. But it gets a little old when you have a solution maybe that would work, but it's not going to work because one party's hurt by it, you know. I don't know, but okay. Well, Gary, we're about done here, so before we go, I'm going to give up my phone number, folks. Thanks for listening to the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. My number down here in Florida, 218-348-7653, and Mr. Callagher.
In the Twin Ports, I'm at 218-390-0615.
All right. Have a good week, everybody, and go Twins. Let's hope that we can continue the playoff roll. Thanks for listening.